off then, Nathan.
Yeah, let's kick off. Let's get into it.
So, who are you?
I'm Nathan Ward, and I work on Family Tree magazine. Hello there. And you are Helen Tovey, editor of Family Tree and all-round Family Tree guru.
That's nice. That's very nice of you to say that. Wannabe guru is a better description.
No. Without you, I'd be nothing.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. Anyway, how's it been going? Because I got a crazy WhatsApp message from you about 9:30 at night. You hadn't moved away from your desk after work and you were just ensconced in ancestors.
I was lost in it. I thought, right, I'm going to be a good boy. I will make it 2 weeks on the trot where I've actually gone away and done my homework. So I did that, and it's caused me chaos, actually. It's made my head explode. Now, I have slept since then, so I might forget some details. But if you remember last week, I was talking about my tree rating being 9.5 and that I was going to try and get it higher by going back to do all the quote-unquote errors. So I went in and I had three people. I had my nana and my granddad and some dude called Thomas Wood, who's a few generations back. So I went in to Ancestry and found as much as I could on my nana and granddad, which wasn't much, to be honest, because they're too young to be in most of the censuses. And I actually couldn't find much about the wedding or anything like that, actually, which is interesting. Why would that be?
So what year did they get married in?
Oh, now you're testing me.
Just roughly, like 1930s or 40s or 50s.
They got married in 1953.
So it could be just that the newspapers which are covering their area for that period of time haven't been digitised yet.
Right. I got the index list one where it says so-and-so's marrying whoever. But I didn't actually get the nice one that gives you the extra details and says who's the father and stuff. But obviously, I know all that stuff, but I was expecting to find a little bit more. I only got a few details. So, yeah, I filled in all the details. I got as many documents as I could from my nan and granddad, which, like I said, wasn't many, trying to get my score up. And then, so I did that quite quickly because it didn't seem to be very much coming through. I then went to the other person that Ancestry was suggesting had errors or problems or not enough data, and it was this guy called Thomas Wood. And I went into him, and instantly it's making me connect to one of my rabbit holes that I decided to avoid. So I don't know if you remember, ages ago I mentioned about, I think it might be my great grandma was married three times. So she married somebody. Again, annoying ancestors. She married somebody with the same surname as my granddad, but then she divorced that person, married somebody else called Briggs, and then married my great granddad. So she was Wood Briggs Wood. And I thought, at the time of finding this information out, I was like, this is too confusing. I'll leave it. I'll come back to it. So on my tree, there was this little gap where Thomas Wood was marrying Mary Ann Taylor, I think her birth name was, and I'd left it. I hadn't delved into them because it felt like a rabbit hole. So in an effort to get my scar up, I thought, right, we'll go for it. We'll sort this out. And it just sent me into like a research spiral, basically. It was amazing. I did things that I thought I'd never do. I built a second tree based just on this woman. I was like, oh, check me out. So I've built this new tree, Mary Ann Taylor. And I was trying out, again, this was partly because I was scared of affecting my own tree score, but I thought I'll try out different people with her and see if it fits together, because there was quite a few question marks about everything. And can I get them? Can I remember them all? Basically, I knew who she was. I knew who her parents were, thanks to the marriage certificate. But then finding out her other husbands is proving difficult, and I don't even know where to begin. There's just so much.
I'm so intrigued as well, your idea of setting up a second tree to have that as basically your working notes tree, isn't it, while you work through a set of ideas and possibilities. So I love that idea of having a second tree. I was just talking to some genealogists the other day about how they use software, and so some people will only kind of commit things to their tree once it's all done and dusted. Other people pop it on their tree and it's half baked. And it's not to say anything's right or wrong. As long as you know what you're doing and what your system is, so you can follow your own train of thought, that's fine. So I'm just really interested, because to me, you're like a modern genealogist. So you're joining Ancestry where it's got already got all these wonderful tools up and running. And it's just natural to you to go and set up a second tree to have as your working notes tree. I like it.
There's just too many variables. It was too scary. I'm a bit meticulous and a bit annoying. I didn't want to commit this to my tree. So I wanted to see if all the dots connected up. I'll try and relate this back as best I can. I do have notes on my research log. But basically, I've got the information about... This is another thing. Mary Ann Taylor, I have been told by my mum that she was married 3 times. My mum has no details of this in her big seal chest, so I don't know why she knows this. Or is it that she's the mother of my mum's grandmother or grandfather? So maybe that's why that was passed down. But she doesn't have any details about the other marriages. So I went to research Mary Ann Taylor and found her parents. So she's on the census with her parents. I chatted a few other censuses and it was her by herself. So she was an only child for a bit. Again, I might get this wrong, but the next document I found, which was relating to a potential marriage to a wood. This is the thing. There's so many variables of is this really the right wood? So this is why I built the second tree. I was testing out if I found some guy called James Wood who married Mary Ann Taylor. The father's name matched, the locality matched. Everything seemed right. But before I even committed that to my fake tree, I checked it out on the census to see where they were. I went a few years down line and Mary Ann, now Wood, with James Wood, was living in a house. They had a child called Mary, which matched up. Maybe, no, they didn't have a child called Mary. They had a child which matched up. But then there was a sister living with them in this house. And it was Martha Taylor, who was 5 years older than Mary Ann Taylor. But in the previous censuses where she was living at home, there wasn't an older sister living at home, even though she was only 4 when the census was done. So this other kid would have been 9. So I can't imagine that child wouldn't be living with the mum and dad and her. So it created a question mark. It's like, this might not be the right person because of this sister. And it says sister-in-law on the actual census, and it matches her maiden name. So it created loads of question marks on that respect. The Briggs part of it, I've found nothing about. And then the Wood part of it, which is again, so she married Wood, Briggs, Wood. If I jump forward, I can't remember which census now, but when she marries my great-great-granddad, in the census, there's my great-granddad and his sister, who are the children of Mary Ann Wood. Is everyone keeping up? Because there's a lot of names going on here. So my great-granddad's in there and my great-granddad's sister's on this census with Thomas Wood and Mary Ann Wood, second time called Wood. But there's loads of children before then. Loads of children. And their names are a mixture of Briggs and Wood. And also, so I'm looking at this. I'm like, okay, this is good. There's Briggs and there's Wood. But the name Briggs and the name Wood, the children's birth dates are intermingled. So some of them are named Briggs, some of them named Wood, some of them named Briggs, and then it's Wood, Wood, Wood. It was just a bit, oh my God, mind-blowing. So I took a step back, and now I'm thinking that Thomas Wood was also previously married and had children of his own before he met Mary Ann Taylor Wood, Briggs, Taylor Wood, whatever. And I found this, it gets more complicated and more annoying. I found a marriage between Thomas Wood and some woman called Sylvia Wood. Her maiden name was Wood. And that's literally the point I got to before my head exploded. It was just bonkers.
It sounds wonderful. It sounds like such a cool puzzle to try and unpick. So you've done really well piecing together what you have so far. So do you have any idea what's your next step going to be?
Going to throw it out to the listeners and they can solve it for me. It can be a little research goal for them.
You did say two things which intrigued me. So can I just check in, like, roughly which decade are we talking about? Like, very roughly. Is it like 1860s, 1870s or a bit later?
We're in the 1800s.
And which decades of the 1800s? I want to know if we're after 1874.
She was born in 1856.
Mm-hmm. So this is good. This is really good. So she's born in 1856. in 1874, she's going to be roughly 18. And the reason I'm asking this is because after 18, I think it's 1874, when you went to register a baby, you could only put the dad's name on the baby's birth certificate, either if you were married or if you weren't married, if the dad came along too and said, yes, that's fine to have my name on the birth registration. And the reason I'm not trying to cast doubt on Mary Ann's marriages, but you mentioned that she got divorced and you mentioned that you were having trouble tracking down some of her marriages with any clarity. And I'm thinking this is really early, unless she is from a very well-off family, to be getting divorced. And you're not finding the marriages. So potentially she didn't actually get married and she didn't actually get divorced. She may have got married some of the times, but not all of the times. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm taking this just from being told by my mum. I do not know officially that any divorces happened.
Mm.
I've just been told she was married three times.
Mm.
But I do wonder, having established now that Thomas, well, not established, having this thought now that Thomas Wood potentially also was married previously. I wonder if that's confused things. So maybe she married Briggs and then married a Wood, and Thomas Wood married a Wood and a Wood.
So what I would recommend you to do is track down for all of those children which you found across the censuses. I'd try and track down a birth registration or a baptism for all of them, or as many as you can do, and see which father's names are recorded, because that might try and clarify, one, whether Thomas was previously married, and two, which husbands or partners Mary Ann had.
Okay.
By the father's names.
That's good. I'll try that. I've just got it here on the timeline. So again, this
a lot of children.
A lot of children. And this is unedited. It's not, I've not bracketed anyone to anyone in particular. So they've got a daughter called Briggs, born in 1878. A daughter called Wood in 1879, another Briggs in 1882, another Wood in 1884, and then Wood, Briggs. Then they get married, and then they have my great-grandfather and my great-grandfather's sister. So the latter two, Vernon Wood and Agnes Wood, I know of. Vernon Wood's on my tree. Agnes Wood was obviously on my tree as well because it's his sister, and my mum spoke about her. So all these other children potentially from two, maybe three other relationships.
Mm. And what would be really interesting, so let's say you're trying to find out of those Woods, are they children of your Mary Ann, or are they children of Thomas from a previous partnership or marriage? So you could just go to the GRO website and then search for those babies with those names and see what mother's maiden names come up. And if you're finding ones which have the maiden name for Mary Ann in that box, then it's pointing to the fact that they are actually Mary Ann's children. And if they have a different maiden name in the box, then you're thinking, right, this is Thomas's previous wife.
That sounds like a great idea. It's just fascinating, isn't it?
Yes, it's really fascinating. And potentially, I mean, they could have even Joseph Briggs. Was he Joseph Briggs?
Who, sorry?
Was it Joseph Briggs? What was Joseph? Was it Joseph?
I don't know. I don't know anyone called Briggs at the moment. So this is Thomas Wood.
Yeah.
Who will marry Mary Ann Taylor.
But you've got all those children called Briggs, haven't you?
We have, yeah. So there's at some point there must be
a dad Briggs.
Yeah, which I can't find at the moment.
Mm.
But I was so lost in, like, the Thomas part of it. And I did find a Mary Ann Taylor who has a John Taylor as a father, who married a James Wood.
Mm.
The locality was spot on, but like I said, there was this rogue older sister that came up.
Mm.
And it didn't fit with the census, but she would be too young to live by herself.
Mm.
It's very confusing.
It is. So you're going to have to do lots of, like, ruling things and ruling things in and ruling things out. So we've established what you can do with all those children to try and work out which parental couples they belong to. And then with the sister-in-law, to find out whether you really have got your right Mary Ann Taylor on the census there, and to find out, you know, because one of those census records is, if there aren't two sisters like that, then one of those census records is wrong.
Mm.
And you need to do the normal old thing of go back to FreeBMD, cast a wide net and see how many possible attenders there are by that name, and you are you getting muddled up with any namesakes?
Okay.
Yeah, but it's good. You're, like by the end of this, you're gonna have done loads of detective work, and you'll have a concrete answer, and it is going to have thrown up lots of interesting curvy things. And I've just seen this. So what a cool job. Thomas Wood is a stationary engine driver.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I looked that up as well. I did some historical research.
Yeah. Worsted mill workers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, Alice Briggs here is Darren's stepdaughter. To Thomas Wood. So there's definitely some Briggsage going on. I just need to find that. But I don't know why. You know, when you start making up stories, I feel like maybe the Briggs aspect of it wasn't in Yorkshire or wasn't in the local area. And I don't know why. It's just a feeling I've got, like, she's moved over here.
On the other hand, those three children, those stepchildren, those three stepdaughters, aren't there? Alice, Ada and Clara. And then if you scroll over to the right-hand side, it's just got D.O. for their birthplace, so ditto. And I can't see the top of the census page, but if we scroll up, so it's Yorkshire, and what's the place? So North Owen and Thornton, North Oram.
Right.
I'm probably saying that terribly. Apologies, anybody. North Oram, Thornton and Thornton. So they are a Yorkshire family, but they are from a different place. You're right. So the other people in the family are all from Yorkshire. Scroll up to the top of the page again. So where are they all from, the rest of that family? Oh. They're all from Thornton as well. Okay. So the family are established in Thornton, apart from that.
But then when you look at these ages, like Ada Briggs is 19, and I've got Janie, is that? She's 17. So those two were born 2 years apart, but yet there's still a younger daughter with the Briggs name. So I think that there's definitely a previous marriage for Thomas Wood there. And I think it probably is the Sylvia Wood that I found. It's just another irritating ancestor situation where they're giving it same names all the time, but now it's surnames, just a couple. So Sylvia Wood married Thomas Wood and changed the name to Wood. Brilliant.
Yes, you're at a really good spot. You said about the ages of the children. I think you need a spreadsheet as well as your second tree. Then you can timeline all of this information. You can have different rows and columns for everyone, and find out where everyone is at a particular time. Potentially, you can use a map as well.
Yeah, I have to say timelines seem to be my new go-to. Like. When I'm getting in a muddle and I want to sort of organise what I'm thinking or what I'm seeing, the timeline really helps me put them in time and put them in time and place. And it's like, that's when you see the discrepancies or you notice the images a bit more.
It's just like doing police investigative work, because they always have to timeline everything. And it's all very well having an alibi, but you need to know that alibi needs to be particularly precisely relevant to the time of the crime or the incident, doesn't it? And so we're just the same. We're like, so exactly where were they at this time on this date, and plotting them along a timeline. But it's really super clarifying and helpful to throw up things which are possible or impossible.
It is, and this is just chaos. And I'm wondering now whether it's like a family story that's been passed down, or Mary Ann Briggs has married three times. But actually, one of those marriages was Thomas. So, and then it's just got confused at some point. And so the both just had one previous relationship, and then they've come together afterwards, had two children.
Yeah.
So some of the facts stack up, but it was just funny that I was trying to be like, right, I'll be factual. I'm going to be meticulous. I'm going to be getting named dates and, sorting my tree out. And the third thing that I do to try and sort my tree out and get a better rating was one of my rabbit holes. And it is a massive one for me to get lost in, this one. Now, I'm going to send you on a hint here, but if I go to Mary Ann Taylor on my fake tree and go to...
Have you called your tree fake tree? What have you called it?
I've just called it Mary Ann Taylor family tree, so it's just hers.
Well, you've got to keep your wits about you with this section of your tree, haven't you, Nathan?
You're not kidding.
Mm.
I mean, that says Charleswood. I've gone in tight. Do you know what? This is hints taking me on a wrong rabbit hole. It's a good job I made notes in my research log as to the right document.
Exactly. That's just a beautiful example we've had there of Nathan following a hint, and it was rubbish.
It was rubbish. look at this. I've made a note there. James Wood, 1879, the Church of England marriage bans. That's irritating. Do you know what, though? I've already associated this with her tree. How do I get to my Mary Ann?
You've got it as a source. You've already got that marriage as the third thing down, haven't you?
That'll be why. I've already linked it. Mason Ward. Right. So this is the marriage certificate. So it's got the date. Mary Ann Taylor. Again, the age matches. The father matches. Then we've got the dad, Charles Ward. We've got the, I guess that must be for the parents or brothers. So this was the only one I could find that was her marrying a Wood. If it was, in fact, my Mary Ann Taylor. But like I said, when I find Mary Ann Taylor with James Wood on the census together, they have a couple of children, but they also have a sister living with them who's 5 years older than Mary Ann Taylor. But on Mary Ann Taylor in the census, it doesn't have a sister. So that, for me, says it's wrong. And this is where my current tree for her is. I've removed this marriage from the tree because I figure it's not correct.
So back to the one census being wrong, then with one data point, it's like trying to see a picture with one pixel on it, isn't it? So it's really hard to make a judgment about something just with one data point. So what you need is more information. You need to look for earlier and later censuses. You need to look up the date of that sister's or potential sister's birth in free BMD and find out, you know, whether you can get any more details from that, whether there's a certificate you find tempting to order. You need to try and find her baptism, because potentially, like, our families are complicated, aren't we? You only have to, the census is a snapshot for one day. And let's say, I'm just completely surmising, you've got Mary Ann Taylor, she's age 4 or 5, she's living with her mum and dad. Mary Ann Taylor may have measles or something, and so they've sent the other sister away to go and stay with the granny and grandpa over the period that the census happens to happen. And so then you are looking at that one census and you're not seeing that sister, but you need to find out, was there definitely or definitely not a sister? And so you need to look in several places to try and establish this, not just dive into one day and get only a partial picture.
Right.
So many, every bit of information throws up about 10 jobs to do to try and work it out, doesn't it?
Well, you're not kidding. Like I said, this was meant to be my quick, I'm doing my homework, I'm sorting my tree out, and then it sent me into the rabbit hole, and then I turned into a super researcher and started making a new tree, albeit making a mess, but luckily not making a mess on my favourite actual tree.
Well, I think you look like a really accomplished researcher. I think it's looking good. I think you've got lots of jobs to do, but that's the nature of it. And that's why, like, I bet before you started doing family history, at some point you may have asked somebody, you know, who's talking about doing their family history, and you're like, oh, how far back have you got and have you finished yet? And then once you start doing your family history, you know that how far back you've got is almost a bit of an impertinent question, because if somebody feels that your answer is far back enough isn't far back enough, that all your hard work isn't actually very impressive. And then the other bit is that, you know, you're not going to finish.
He's never going to
finish. Project with an end. So you don't even want it to finish. I've said this before, you don't want it to finish.
I know.
But it really is. It's got so many doors to open and things to find out.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. No, I'm not. I don't feel like I am wrong. I feel like she is the oldest daughter and this other extra daughter isn't correct. So I feel...
Can you show me the census with the extra incorrect daughter on?
Okay, this will be a challenge. So I'll just show you this one. This is the 1871 census. Mary Ann Taylor is here with her mama and her papa. Mm-hmm. She's 15 years old. She has Job and William, her younger brothers. Oh, that's his grand... Does that say granddaughter, though? Okay.
Ah, because there's somebody above that.
Thomas Taylor, yeah.
Thomas Taylor.
He's 74. He might have an interesting job as well. Like, hang about. Is it last dryer, that, or what?
Cart driver. That is cool.
I don't know. Yeah, so yeah, this is another bit I found. So yeah, they're living with Thomas. Thomas Taylor is on this fake tree already, and he was married to Sarah, and then he's a widow, and he then moves in with John and Sarah, who have his granddaughter, but he's head of the house. Oh, it could be the other way around, couldn't it? They could move in with him, which probably makes more sense. So
I think they're the youngest at the head. They've moved in with him.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll see the older widowed parent, and they tend to be listed at the bottom of the census entry. So you'll have the head being the father, and then the mother, then all the children, and then the widowed parent at the bottom.
Right.
And then the any lodgers and stuff like that after that. That's just roughly what they do, but sometimes it varies in order.
Okay, nice one. So you want to see the other tree, the other census?
I just want to read the writing, just in case there's any other clues we're missing there. If we've got a birth location for that potential sister, does it definitely say sister-in-law? Are there any clues to help us start ruling her in or ruling her out? That's what I want to know.
All right, I'm going to search the 1881 census.
And that's a really typical way of working, isn't it? You're trying to gather not one little clue and then make a massive sweeping statement. You're trying to gather a bunch of evidence. Back to the policeman analogy, you're doing your timeline. You want a bunch of evidence. You want a body of evidence. You want not just one clue, which can get immediately refuted by another clue. You need to have enough information to go, this is looking pretty much like what the situation is. And some of the finer details to it might not match exactly, but on balance, you're getting a more true picture of what happened.
Yeah.
And sometimes the finer details not matching is a drama, and sometimes it isn't. And it's by gathering that more and more information, more and more data points, you can establish this. This today's episode of the podcast is the coalface of family history. It's what it's like paging through endless digitized entries, scrutinizing any beautiful digitized old images, gathering countless bits of information and trying to piece it all together into coherent information, isn't it, Nathan? It's hard.
It is.
You need analytical skills, you need good organisational skills, you need good memory.
Well, I'm like saying that I'm a good boy and I'm using my research log, which I am, and I'm still struggling to find the entries that I thought I knew I had.
It's hard. It's because you're collecting loads of information. Like, I'm looking at some of the entries on your tree already, and although you've only been researching for a few months, quite a lot of your profile people, you know, when we look at their profile, they've got several sources next to their name. And if you add all that up, because you've probably got a few hundred people on your tree now, that's hundreds of documents alone, isn't it? And then there's hundreds of bits of information on those documents as well.
Right, here we are. 8 years later, I have found in the 1881 census, James Wood, head of the house, married to Mary Ann Wood. They have a daughter who is 4 months old called Mary Ann also. Mm-hmm. And then Martha Taylor, which is sister-in-law, who is 30 years old compared to Mary Ann, who is 25.
Hmm. Where were they all born then?
Yorkshire. Methlam.
Okay.
Meltham. Meltham.
So we are now going to go to FreeBMD and we're going to look for a Martha Taylor born in 1851. And so Meltham, we need to find out which registration district really that's in. And we can look for a parish baptism for her as well, back on Ancestry. Need to try and find out about this Martha Taylor.
Okay. See, this I think this is my like weakness. I forget to research the people of the slightly related. You know, like when it had that woman who wasn't a nun, who could have been a nun. I don't think to look at them naturally.
I'm not trying to put you off track, but sometimes they can be really helpful in making you feel confident that you have found the right direct ancestor.
Yeah, well, as soon as I found a parent out for Martha, then I know I know it's either is or isn't. So what am I looking for?
Looking for a birth with the surname Taylor and the first name Martha. And you know that she's 30 in 1881, on the 1881 census, she was 30. But I would search for the date range. I would search from 1850 to 1852, just in case there's any little discrepancy or in case her birth was at the beginning or end of a year. And then you've just keep it as the first entry. Yeah. And the first quarter of the first year and the last quarter of the last year, then you're searching like a 3 year period, roughly around the starting point year. And then we're going to try and narrow down the area. So we're going to narrow down to the right county. So I think you just want to keep going. You want to get Yorkshire because you're looking at pre 1974 county names.
Right. Okay.
Well, here we go. So, and it says in your county section, Nathan, it's got areas of Yorkshire from 1974 and to 1974. So you need to choose one of the ones to 1974.
Right. So like West Ridings of Yorkshire.
Yes. So would it be in the West Riding of Yorkshire?
Should be. In my head, it's the right zone.
Okay. And then just try that for a minute and let's see what we get. And go to 1851 because that's your hottest year, isn't it? And then you then branch out from there.
Mm. We've got three options come up. Two are in Huddersfield.
And then it's not just three because that's you've got three in the... There's a lot of people called Martha Taylor, so you've got three just in the first quarter of 1851 altogether, haven't you? And then you've got another... Oh. Another three in the June quarter, wow. Then three in the September quarter, and not really one, or she's got a middle name. So out of those places, then my geography's not good enough to know which ones would be the hottest contenders. So then what I would do for the minute, I would say that I've searched in my log, I'd say I searched free BMD from 1850 to 1852, in the West Riding of Yorkshire, and it's turned up however many, nine promising leads in 1851 alone. So that's kind of a lot of people to look at. And I would go back to Ancestry and I would have a look and see if they've digitized any of these baptism records, because then I can potentially get to the answer quicker because I'm looking for the father's name. So I want a Martha with the same parents' names as my Marianne or your Marianne. Yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes if there's not many people, you can kind of strike gold quite quickly. Yeah. And because FreeBMD is really comprehensive for that period, then you know you're searching in a good place. Whereas with the Ancestry ones, it's an ongoing process, gradually digitizing more and more parish registers. So when you do your search, this may or may, you're going to have different levels of luck depending on where you're searching and what period you're searching in. Yeah. That's how you do FreeBMD first. Yeah. Any easy wins.
It's a lot, isn't it? Like within milliseconds, I've got 26 tabs open on my on my screen, and I figured. So I'm looking for
you're going to
with the John Taylor as a dad.
Was it John Taylor? Because on that 1881 census you showed me, I don't think it was John, was it?
Mary's husband was called James, but I'm trying to establish if Mary's sister has a sister called Martha, so
okay,
we'll share the same parents.
Yes.
Should I put a mother in as well? Is that crazy?
No.
Would you go maiden name for that then as well?
No. Like, no, you go. In Scottish ones, then people include women and keep with their maiden names appearing in the records all the way through. You know, you even find them in probate records at the end with their maiden name. And sometimes they'll have both their names and they'll give their married name and then say maiden name. You know, but in England, then people tend to change over to their married name. And you don't find evidence of their maiden names, which is be one of the things which make it really hard to trace women because you haven't got that maiden name clue. You have to do that little bit of extra step of work to verify this is the right person.
Okay, well, I've got one that's coming up as a potential match, but it hasn't got a document attached to it.
But over here, it's got suggested records, West Yorkshire, Church of England, births and baptisms, 1813 to 1910. So that's going to cover your period of interest. So we should definitely be looking at that. What did you then say the parents' name should be again?
John and Sarah. So there you go. Martha, daughter of John and Sarah Taylor.
Mm.
I can't even read what they are. What are they? That is a board and Edge. That's it.
Looks like Edge.
Curious.
But but this person's born 5 years too early for your Martha. But what it means is we have got this. So you know that Ancestry now, we know you've got a collection called the West Yorkshire, England, Church of England, births and baptisms, covering a century of records, which covers your period of interest. So I would go to the Ancestry, go to the search option, go to the card catalogue and look for this record collection, because then... you know that you can own all your search results are going to be the sort of record you want, which is a baptism record covering the place you want, which is West Yorkshire. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to go to search, scroll down, press that search button, big search button at the top, scroll down till it says card catalogue in the drop-down menu, press. in the title or keyword, put in West Yorkshire search. Brilliant. So you can see you've got a record collection here with 6 million births and baptisms covering a century of West Yorkshire. That's fantastic. So you're going to click on that. And then what's really nice about this option is when you just search one collection, you get a really precise search interface with search fields which are relevant for that record type. And you know that all your results which get thrown up are only going to be coming from this record collection. Whereas sometimes, you know, when you search more broadly on Ancestry, you can chuck up search results from all over the place, which can be useful and interesting and can be confusing. Oof, we are going to need a coffee after this.
I know, I'm getting a headache. It's these are bad.
So you're looking for a birth in roughly 1851. Roughly 1851. So 1851, I'd say plus or minus a year. And then let's have a search and see what we get. Okay, so there's 98 search results.
Oh, that one's shouting out at me straight away because it's got Meltham on it.
It's looking good. And 18th of November, 1850. So the date's really good for somebody coming up as being 30 on the 1881 census, because potentially she just hasn't had her birthday yet. It's after the census date, isn't it? It's November. So she hasn't got ticked up another year. So let's view record.
But equally, the parent is wrong. So it's John and Mary Ann, not John and Sarah. Anyway.
No, because just because you've got one generation of blended families doesn't mean you're not going to get another one. So let's say John's married Mother Mary Ann.
Oh.
Mary Ann dies and then he marries Sarah and has Mary Ann. Whoa. Who is named after his first wife.
Oh, wow.
It's possible, isn't it?
It is. It's. I'm just, been a bit naive in my search. Right, okay. Martha, John and Mary Ann Taylor, Roughnook.
And he's a dyer. So, I mean, that would be useful to note that occupation. It's another thing you could do is note the dad's occupations through the times, because that will help you know, could potentially help verify you have got the right person. So you've got what I think you need to do for each step that you do. You're going to have to be searching out everybody. You're going to have to be timelining them and trying to put them into family groups to find out definitely whose parents are their parents. Yeah. And which parents have which children.
Yeah. I should probably start doing this now. Go on for days, couldn't it? I was just quickly looking to see what John Taylor's job was on the census. Oh, there. John Taylor and Sarah.
Joiner.
So it's not a dyer. And that was 1851. So that doesn't line up.
It doesn't line up. So then we have to go back to those list of baptisms and see who else. But it's so promising because it's got the same place and a really good tie-in for the date.
Yeah, I did see another one, though, like two entries down. Mm-hmm. That was the same location. So basically, I've got a lot of work to do. It's very confusing, and there's a lot of confusing people doing lots of confusing things and having the same names.
So do you know what you need to do from the top? So we've talked about lots of different tactics and strategies that you can do. So what you need to do, you need to establish your research question. And what you're trying to do, you've got your first research question is trying to establish who are Mary Ann Taylor's spouses, and then to help you establish who are her spouses or spouses/partners, the sub-question is going to be establishing who are the parents of all of these children that you keep finding variously in the censuses.
Yeah, that's such a good way to think of it.
Other sub-question is, who is this Martha Taylor? And so it could be that you have the wrong census entry for your Mary Ann, or it could be that the Martha Taylor is a sister and you could potentially have a different blended generation. So you're going to keep thinking, what are my questions? And literally open up a Word document. This is what I do. And I write down my research questions. I'll write my research questions are, and then I'll have my overriding question and I'll list my sub questions, which are going to help me answer the main question. And then I'll go my research plan. I'll literally type my research plan colon. And then I'll think, how am I going to solve this problem? And so I'll write a list of potential records which are going to help me. And so before you go off searching on Ancestry, what can be really helpful is to go to Ancestry, go to the search word at the top, like what I told you, scroll down to card catalogue, and then you can use the filters, the title and the keyword, to drill down to find out what record collections are there for my place and my period of time that are available to me with my Ancestry subscription to help me answer this question. And then I would also get a map, because you know the place of Meltham, but what would be really helpful is to know the names of the neighbouring parishes, because they only have to rent a house just down the road, flips over into the neighbouring parish, and you've got a completely different name. Whereas if you have a rough working knowledge of what those parish names are, that will help you conduct a thorough, efficient search. So you're going to go to the MAPS family search site for 1851 and look up the name of Meltham and just see what parish names are nearby. So you've got your research question, you've got your research plan, and then on this Word document, I would literally write today's date, and I would say, today I'm dealing with this research question. You can even just write it to yourself again to help drum it into your head what the heck you're doing. And you go, to do this, I am searching for the baptism of Clara. Or you pick one of the children and you go, what can you find out about Clara? Add it all in, include the links where you find everything, write your little conclusion, then move on to the next person. And so if you even might get halfway through Clara in a research session, because it all takes time. And you could have an Excel sheet which you're going on as well. So you've listed all the people and they have a yes, no, what have you done for them situation. That's really going for it. But that can be helpful if you've got a really big tangle in your hands.
I think I really do. It's mind-blowing, this one. Like all this stuff about Martha. Martha is only valid if I believe she actually, Mary Ann actually married someone called James Wood.
Mm.
So I literally am potentially researching utter strangers that are nothing to do with my tree, which makes me feel very happy they're not officially on my tree yet. But it's that elimination process, isn't it? It's getting those facts right. I am actually more inclined to now think that my mum and or parents before that have seen various censuses and seen that there's a Wood and a Briggs and presumed that it was all from the mother's side. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the few little bits that I've found makes me think that the father has the Wood children. So it's Wood, Briggs, Wood.
One last thing. If you feel like potentially you have got people out of this recent kind of haul of information you've got that aren't going to end up being related to you, so you've gathered this big sprawl of information, I would go back to where you were last confident. So before you had that crazy late night session finding all this information, go, okay, where am I now and what do I know? And then conduct your search all over again, which might sound laborious, but you'll be doing it with a completely different, rather than from a knowing nothing point of view, you kind of know what possible contenders are. You've thought lots of possible scenarios, and so conduct the search again. Just follow, don't try and match up your search to what your mum told you or anything. Just literally follow your search. What can you find based on the data that you know for sure is definite, and build it from there. And you might save yourself some time, because all those baby Claras, etc., just may be nothing to do with you, and you may never have to bother finding out about them.
I do think stepping back, like I was saying, to the father makes me feel a bit more relaxed.
Mm.
I feel like it's still largely unexplored, but his marriage to somebody else called Wood, just for pure confusion's sake, I feel like there's something there. And I think looking for those children, like you've just said to do, I think that will actually just really focus me in on that. Mm. Oh, wow. Well, I'm sorry. I feel like I've really dominated this session with that. But
Wow. I think it's interesting, like it's a situation that all of us find ourselves in sometimes. I think you've got a particularly complicated dose of it, but by the time I wouldn't call it a brick wall, but it's a conundrum. And by the time you solve this, your research skills won't just have gone up a level, they'll have gone up a few levels. You'll have been so much more like match fit for your genealogy research. You'll have learnt so many more things. And all those little lessons will just get tucked away in your head, so that next time you come across a complicated situation, you will have all these kind of little tools in your toolbox to help solve it. So it will be a really good exercise.
Yeah. Did you just mention going up a level?
Yes.
So it just happens that my tree rating's now 9.7.
That's very, very good. That's very good. I dare check mine in case it's gone down in the meantime.
No. I mean, if I'd have put any of the information that we've just been talking about on my tree, it would have just gone down horrendously, because nothing matches up. But...
or it would have gone up because it would be tallying with other people's trees and they followed those lines that agreed with what you said, even though it might not check out. You never know. It's easy to get things wrong. I've done it loads.
Crazy. It's just a crazy amount of names.
Yeah.
All good fun. I was very excited doing it. As much as I am confused and there's a lot to go at, it was fun to just suddenly be like, right, I'm going to create a new tree and this is how I eliminate these elements. Obviously, everything that you've taught me and everyone who's come in and talked to us, it just was all coming together. And it's like, this is a good research task. It's a cool one.
Really good.
Anyway, clearly that's what I'm doing for the foreseeable. That's my homework for the next.
It could even be a few months, couldn't it?
Don't make me cry.
I have kept on a little bit with my research of Manchuria, and I've definitely ended up in a rabbit hole. And I won't go into in-depth because we've had a lot of heavy information today. But I've been reading reports of Japanese prisoners of war camps from the Japanese point of view, and it's fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah. Wasn't what I was expecting to find. It's just really interesting to see a different point of view from history. To keep quite calm when I was reading it, I didn't naturally agree with them, to say the least, but it was interesting. There's always two sides.
There is, and like that's something you don't even contemplate, do you? Like, well, I didn't anyway. It's just like, yeah, our side, our logs. Mm. But yeah, especially with the prisoner of war, that's where the details are going to be kept. That is really intriguing. Mm. Oh, wow.
So I'm going to carry on with that.
Yeah, you can give us an update on that next time, and I won't talk as much.
Yes. No, you need to give an update as well. We'll keep updating. Okay, so I hope everybody's having fun. So last week we mentioned about a pledge, and we want to kind of carry on with this because it would be really fun if anybody, like me and Nathan, has ongoing research situations, which we all do, and you'd like to be held to account, then just email us at editorial@family-tree.co.uk and say what your research goal is. And then we can read out your name, just your first name, and what your research goal is. And then we can check in with you either a week later or a month later. Let us know how long you'd like. And then we can see whether you've kept to your goal or not, because I think this would be really fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So we are me and Nathan talking about our goals. And it is holding us to account, but we are sticking on track, aren't we?
For the last 2 weeks at least, yes.
Exactly. We're on a 2-week streak of sticking to our research goals, which is just amazing.
First time for everything.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.